Well, we wanted to finish up the study we started last week, dealing with the causes for husband or wife to kind of close down before the other, not having an open-heartedness to each other. And we talked last time about what causes the spirit of a husband to react, to have a reaction to the spirit of his wife. Tonight we want to look at the other side of that. Can we show that picture again? The diagram I meant to say. There we go. We are submitting ourselves one to another, but we are also submitting ourselves to God. And as we do that, He has shown us how to love and has told us to imitate Him in His love. And then we are to show that to one another. So submission. Submission involves a great deal. And while the main structure for the wife is submission to the husband, yet in this verse, verse 5:21, we see that also there is a submitting to the wife. Every leader, when he takes his job seriously, is submitting his own desires for the one that he's serving. A leader should not consider that he can just do whatever he wants. Therefore, he submits his time, his effort, his intelligence to being a leader properly to the person that he's leading. So there's a submission involved in the leadership. All right, what causes the spirit of a wife to react to the spirit of her husband? Well, Ephesians 5:25 says, and here's the main demand of the husband, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Make no doubt, this is not talking about having a lovey-dovey feeling, though very often that comes, but to love in the sense that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This is a love unto death. This is a self-sacrificing love. So when he neglects this, when he reinterprets this, when he turns this around to where it means something that he likes rather than self-sacrifice, then God's great plan starts crumbling for him because the wife reacts to that spirit. So number one, awareness that she is not first place in his life. It works out this way. The husband is to be the head of his wife for the purpose of expressing his love to her by meeting her needs. When the wife senses that she is not first place, she doubts his love and becomes insecure. She senses when he is not relating his life around the needs and goals of the family, when he is preoccupied with other people or possessions or activities. If you stop to think about what submission means, you recognize this means you give up what you want to do. And the wife is told to submit. Well, what if he tells me to do something bad? What if he tells me to do something I would hate? When she senses that she is first place in his life, that his love, as the scripture says, is itself a self-sacrificing love for her, it's the love of God shown to her, then she can trust him. Even when what he's saying isn't what she would have chosen, she can say, my wife pointed this out a couple of times when I've told her something that she wasn't thinking of or wasn't expecting, and I encouraged her not to do something or to do something that she wasn't expecting to do. And she's mentioned that she recognized God leading through me meant that she just dare not take these things into her own hands. So when she gains the awareness that she's not first place in his life, how do you show that she's first place, you see? You have to think that through. You need to be giving those signals, and that you can do that pretty much on a day-by-day basis. Secondly, failure to recognize attempts to please him. This is that expectation thing. When he expects a certain level of service or something, and when she does it, he doesn't say anything because he expected that. But if she doesn't do it, then she gets read the riot act, and really gets bawled out. The wife's attention to immediate details and her desire to express her love to her husband may often motivate her to do special little things for him. When he fails to recognize these or express appreciation for them, he is being insensitive to her need for admiration and praise. Just a callousness. Listen to the praise that God encourages in Proverbs 31. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Here's what he says. Many daughters have done virtuously or have gotten riches, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, that's like popularity. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Not just expected to do that. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So God understands this and encourages this. When a good leader in whatever area of life recognizes that you can lead people's actions by praise far better than by criticism. If you're always just saying what's wrong with what they're doing, then they just get this idea that most of what they do is just wrong, and you are not a person that can be pleased. And that dries up the desire to try to please. But when you point out things maybe they didn't recognize that you really appreciate, you are directing them to that activity. I got praised by doing that. I'll have to do that again. See? The third thing that causes a reaction to the wife is receiving unfavorable comparison with other women. This is just stupid. The wife is deeply hurt when her husband admires the appearance or the abilities of other women in which she lacks, the abilities that she lacks. Well, that woman can do this. She does that. And this is just belittling. This is taking away the loving response. Number four, lack of spiritual leadership. When the husband does not show that he is being led by God, then the fear comes, I'm supposed to obey this guy and I don't even know what's motivating him. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. But if she can see the spiritual leadership, then she feels safe. There's a deep longing in a wife for spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership. When her husband fails to provide this or shows disinterest in it, she finds herself unable to place her full confidence in him and may seek this leadership from others. And if he's upset by that and doesn't like her talking to this person or that person, it really just comes back to him, you see. She's looking for the spiritual leadership. The fifth thing is this: rejecting her opinions as important. The rejection of her opinions as important. Or to say accepting them as unimportant, but you get the idea. You know, the dismissal, well, that's what you're saying, that's what you think. It sounds like a woman's idea, you know, just dismissing it. The husband tends to evaluate his wife's opinions and requests, but notice this, in the light of his larger frame of reference rather than her immediate frame of reference. So she's concerned about very much the today and the here and now, and he may be seeking something else, you know, saving money for this thing or that thing. Well, the wife is hurt through his lack of showing deference and is hindered in revealing blind spots in her husband's judgment or character. Very often, the wife is a better judge of character due to her sensitivity to the spirit of a person, whereas the husband tends to overlook character faults and to concentrate on the logical nature of others' ideas. A person with bad character may be logical, but come up, you know, use that logic to come up with a wrong idea. And sometimes just listening to the wife saying, "I just feel that you shouldn't spend that much time with that person." That ought to be not ridiculed, but taken in as a prompting of God. Now, you know, the husband may truly evaluate that and consider it and then dismiss it, but it should not be dismissed just offhand. Also, a lack of inner discipline when her husband shows that he can't discipline himself, that he just does what he wants to do. The wife's admiration of the husband is greatly damaged when she senses in him lack of discipline, resulting in anger or moral weakness. When her attempts to correct this are met with silence, her wounds are made more acute. When he approaches, reproaches her and says, "It's not your place to correct me," you know, it's an excuse for lack of inner discipline. It damages her. The seventh is inadequate preparation for changes. "Hi, honey, how was your day?" "Fine. Well, I just wanted to let you know we're moving to Texas on Friday." It will not go over well. The wife is able to make major adjustments if she is given proper leeway for them. Inadequate time causes her to become insecure and apprehensive because she has not been given the opportunity to rearrange her frame of reference. She has to reorient her way of thinking about this. Number eight is inconsistencies in discipline. This is dealing with the children. When the husband defends the children or takes sides with the children because he thinks his wife is being too strict, the wife feels that he is being disloyal to her and trying to win the children to himself. A terrible, horrible divide. My wife and I have found that normally she was the one dealing with the kids on a, you know, day-by-day basis at home. And I would come home and I would have fun with the kids. I'd be the relief, you know. I'd be the guy. Wasn't expecting much of them, wasn't making them make the bed and clean up the room and all that. And I was the fun guy. That's a plural for fungus, right? There were other times when things changed around where I was the one getting on them. And I was doing this, and we found that she was the one who would speak up with some comic side thing. She would become the comic relief and to give us the time to not take things so seriously. And we just realized that God had us balancing things out, you know. So inconsistencies in discipline, just make it a rule, if you're dealing with the children, that you never disagree, you and your spouse never disagree on discipline in front of the kids. And you don't do it loud and in an argumentative way when the kids are in the other room. However, when it comes down to it, and if one of you thinks that what's being done or the discipline is inappropriate, then in the kindliest way possible, say, I wonder if I could just talk to you over in the other room. And it's not like, all right, get in the other room, I have to talk to you. It's not like you've been called to the principal's office. That you, and then one of the other, you know, one of you is pointing out that that there might be, you know, might not be realizing all that's going on here. So instead of contradicting one another, therefore showing a divided leadership, get on the same page, come back and have a unified stand before the kids. Number 9, attempts to correct in public. We mentioned this with the wife and the husband, but this is most often we found the husband doing it to the wife. Attempts to correct in public. The husband may use jokes or cutting remarks in public to emphasize something he's been trying to change in his wife. This is like unfavorable comparison. You know, she makes the lady hostess makes a special meal, and he looks over and says, "How come you never can do anything like that?" So, unfavorable comparison. But then even worse, he just makes a joke of his wife. And what is she left to do? Kind of chuckle along, you know. But my wife and I have been in places where the husband was doing that, and we just thought, he has no idea what he's doing, how he's undermining his own authority with his wife. Just not a good idea. Some jokes are not funny, and this is one of them. All right, you get the ideas. You sense how that works, and these are just an expansion of the two great commands to the wife to submit and to the husband to love in a self-sacrificing way. And you can get that done. You can accomplish that and then avoid all of these things that cause a reaction in your partner. Does this bring up any comments or questions?